All right, red light's on. Green light's on. Paul's doing that thing, so we're cool. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. That is quite a litany. Now, if we were in another place with another group and somebody else read that, I would expect them to start talking about man's free will. This is the condition of men. Right now. Now, Paul did say in the last days, but he's warning Timothy 2,000 years ago. These guys were there then, they're there now, and they're getting worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now, I do want to juxtapose this, because this is the beginning of chapter 3. We don't want to just say, oh, people are bad and we're never going to talk to anybody again. If you'll read the end of chapter 2, well, just verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, the men's interpolated, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That was Paul talking to Timothy about his preaching and teaching. Chapter 3 is a whole different thing when it starts out. Our preaching and teaching instructions are clear. We are not to strive. I'm not to use this place up here to argue with someone else. This is a place for the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the proclamation of the truth. It's not what they call a bully pulpit. It is where we are to proclaim. And it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. He is to preach. He is to proclaim the truth of God as it is in the face of Jesus Christ. Peradventure, for the reason of that God may give them repentance. Repentance is a gift. And guess what? Esau wasn't given it. Esau sought repentance with tears. But he didn't find it. Why was that? It wasn't given to him. That's the only answer I got. Because if you have it, you've been given it. We are to teach with patience and meekness, and we must be patient because God works in his own time. He's going to save his people.
Yes.
But he doesn't save them all at once. He saves them in his good time. We are meek because we know, believers know, it takes the work of God to give.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've got nothing to give you but the truth. The reception of this truth is not up to me. It's not up to you. It's up to God who grants it. And this repentance is to the acknowledging of the truth. See, I know lots of people that repent from beer or alcohol or going to movie theaters or watching television, they'll brag about it. No, the repentance God gives is to the acknowledging of the truth.
Amen.
That's the result of repentance. You turn to God from idols. That's repentance. And if you turn to God, you will turn to the truth because he is the truth. And what does that mean? If you don't acknowledge the truth, your repentance is not of God. That's all it means. And it is that simple. Now, you may not know it at first. You may not even like it at first. There may be a struggle with a few things. Because just like these other people, we were lovers of our own selves, and we still are. We are covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy. I'm still that. But God gives repentance to. There's a purpose for it, and it's told here, this purpose here, the acknowledging of the truth. And I remember one time Walter looked at me and he said, basically to the fact of, I don't know that I like it, but that's true. Some 30 years ago. You don't have to like it. But you know it's true. And you'll come to like it. You'll come to love it. You'll come to love the one that taught it to you. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about him. You'll come to know him who is true. You'll come to love him who is true. That's the acknowledgement of the truth. Now that is what we do here. Now this next chapter is not here, it's out there. And this is a warning again to Timothy and to us. And he's giving instructions on how to deal with this. And he wrote this to Timothy, which means he wrote it to us. Because we're no different. In the last days, there's going to be perilous times, difficult times. And then he gives you the reason why in the first two words of verse 2. Four men. Four men are going to do something. And guess what? It's going to be wrong. So you come to the place where he says, but God, that's a good place.
Yeah.
When you come to the place where he says, four men, that's a bad place. And I've been listening to stuff I probably shouldn't have. After we talked on the phone, Walter, I was on the internet, which is sometimes a mistake. We are no different than these men here. The only difference between these men here and us is the grace of God. Yes. And in my flesh, I'm still the same. Okay? There's guys on the internet right now bashing Calvinism. Okay? Seriously bashing Calvinism. And stupidly bashing Calvinism. Because they come on there and they make this accusation that Calvinists say that David was saved before, during, and after he committed adultery and murdered that guy. And I said, yeah, I do say that. Yeah. Yeah. Calvinists can't teach holy living. You're right. I can't do that either. Not the way they're defining it. These guys are out there right now. And they're there, and they're there to try to confound people, to confuse people. And guess what? They're not acknowledging the truth.
No, they're not.
My gosh. They have books out. Ugh. One of them is called Against Calvinism. Then they get cute. Young, Restless, and No Longer Reformed. A Bible-based argument against Calvinism. Why I am not a Calvinist. And my personal sarcastic favorite. Chosen, but free. A balanced view of God's sovereignty and my free will. Or free will.
Like the Lord God.
They have a form of godliness.
Yeah.
But they're denying God's power.
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly what they're doing. And that's all it is. And I'm not trying to argue anything. This book says what it says. Now they want to say we put God in a box. Okay. I'll take that. The box I put God in is His total and complete sovereignty.
Yes.
Over everything He has created, including me, including you, and including them.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because that's what this book teaches.
Amen.
I'm not going to deny that power.
No.
I'm not going to deny His power. And I'm not going to argue with Him. If that's the box you don't like, because see, you try to put God in a box, free will will jump out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't belong in there with God.
That's right.
What the heck kind of talk is this? My free will. Our God is in the heavens and He has done whatsoever He has pleased.
Amen.
And I don't care whether you like it or I like it or they like it.
Right.
That's the truth of the Scripture. And that's the God of this Bible. And I will not deny His power. And you can have a form of godliness, a form of piety, all you want. But you better not deny His power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's putting you in this category right here. This is the category. When you start denying the power of God, you start talking about your free will, this is the category you're in. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. And I think about what that word means now and I kind of giggle. But fierce, despisers, here's the one, traitors.
Yeah, traitors.
Traitors. They are guilty of treason against my God.
Right.
Against
right.
The God of this book.
That's right.
Paul gives the instruction. From such, turn away. There you go. You don't chase after them to argue with them. You don't chase after them to talk to them. You don't try and sway them. God, peradventure, may give them repentance.
Yeah. Yeah.
He still can.
Sure.
Except they be reprobate. And I don't know who's reprobate and who's not, but I do know that some people are. I do know that some people are elect. Why? This book teaches it. Christ said it. He also said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. That throws free will right out the box, if you really want to know the truth about it. I don't ever hear him quote that one. Ye have not chosen me. Why? You can't choose me. I chose you. And all that the Father giveth me, come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's my conditional security. They got a book on that too. Instead of eternal security, they have conditional security. Mine is. Mine's conditional. It's conditional on him.
Amen.
I'm in his hand. We're in God's hands.
Yes.
And ain't nobody plucking them out of the Father's hand.
Right.
And you want to deny that? You're denying his power.
Right.
His power to call. His power to... This fellow was... The one I heard was... preaching his sermon against predestination from Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. Okay? And then he started off by saying, context is king. But it has nothing to do with salvation. Now, the list ain't on here about idiots anywhere. But I think sometimes it's included, even though it may be implied and not written down. Because if Romans 8:28 doesn't have anything to do with salvation, that guy doesn't know what salvation is. And he proved it by what he said.
Yeah.
Walter and I talked about this on the phone yesterday. And this is one of the reasons why what we want to do here is to preach the gospel and to proclaim God so that you know that gospel, like that story about the counterfeit money. Mm-hmm. You talk about the real money and you feel the real money and you know the real money, you know the smell of it, you know the touch of it, you know what it looks like, and then when somebody comes out with this nonsense about putting God in a box, you realize that guy's not all there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The truth ain't there. And they're denying the power of God.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to be carried about by every wind of doctrine.
No.
And I don't want you to be carried about by any wind of doctrine. Because it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll go from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
They'll go from no election whatsoever to an election that says an election is unto salvation.
Right.
If you're elect, he's going to give you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Right.
Being elect doesn't save you, it's unto salvation.
Yeah.
It's a guarantee of it.
Sure.
Because the one who chose you is the one who's going to give you life and faith and repentance and love and all that you need, and he's going to be the one that keeps you.
Amen.
I will not deny his power. I don't want to be in that group. My flesh already is, and that's bad enough. From such, turn away. And this ain't the only place that Paul said that. Where is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just take a look at that for just a second. I'm going to start getting a bookmark or something. But what I do, this is verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. These people desire occasion. I remember Earl talking about it, Walter, where the people had invited him to debate. And he said, I ain't debating. And I confessed to Walter yesterday, I'll confess to you guys, I love to argue. Yeah. Well, Walter and I have argued a couple times in 30 years. We have. But we always try to settle on the truth.
Right. Right.
That's what we're arguing for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These people desire occasion, and they'll gain from you.
Yeah, right.
You won't gain anything from them.
No.
I guarantee this. I did this one time on the radio where I put the guy in a box. And the guy said, the guy asked me, it was a call-in radio show, Aubrey Ballou, what's his name from the Church of Christ, who think they're the intelligentsia of whatever. He asked, I was talking back and forth with him on the radio. Debbie was there. She can vouch for me. And the guy says, you talk like God saves you arbitrarily. And I said, kinda. Or yeah. I said, do you think that you deserve to be saved by God? And he said, oh, no, 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 no. Because you can't say that. Yeah, that's exactly it. So then I asked him, I said, well, then God must have saved you kind of arbitrarily. And he didn't have an answer. And there is no answer. Because you... This is the hole they put themselves in. They say it's grace and they don't deserve it, but then they teach that they do. Exactly. They contradict themselves constantly and nobody calls them on it because everybody agrees.
Right. That's why.
And when you disagree and you get them going, you can twist them up. And I'm good at that sort of thing. But guess what? Next week, he's back on the radio saying
sure,
the same old stuff he ever did.
Sure,
that's exactly it. That's all they got is a lie, and that's what they're selling. And they're not going to stop just because you argue with them.
No.
But they'll get an audience because you're entertaining. Mm-hmm. They'll gain from you. They'll seek out an occasion for
sure.
You. They'll gain.
Yeah.
But there's no gain in it for you.
No, you're right.
From such, turn away. And I did finally, you know.
You learn.
Yeah. Sometimes you do have to hit me over the head with a board, but I do learn. There you go. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. You know what's wrong with that statement? They transform themselves into the apostle of Christ. They did it. Not God gave them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. They transformed themselves. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, Satan used to be an angel of light. And he could still appear that way.
He could still appear that way.
And he does his best work in his best guise. And he's not trying to attract those that are outwardly evil. He doesn't need to attract those that are outwardly enthralled by evil. He's already got those. He has snares that are much more insidious. And he goes with outward beauty. I mean, these places are nice. These people are nice. This one fellow that I was listening, I mean, just as folksy and friendly and nice, to, you know, as he could be. while lying on God.
Yeah.
Just as personable as he can be and sitting up there spewing lies and denying the power of God.
Right.
Satan has ministers.
Yes.
And they're ministers of righteousness.
Oh.
And they're in church buildings every Sunday.
Yeah.
Every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. Because they have a full service ministry of heathenism, of lies, and of denying the power of God. They speak of righteousness, but it's not God's righteousness.
Right.
They're ministers of righteousness, all right. It ain't God's righteousness. It's their righteousness.
Their righteousness.
And your righteousness, if you're as good as them. Paul says, from such, turn away.
Yeah.
That's what he tells us. That's what he teaches us. He talked about in the other letter to Timothy about those fellows that oppose themselves knowing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Why? They're lying about God. Why? Because they know nothing.
Yeah.
And they are denying his power.
Yes.
And that is sin. That's not holy living, Mason. Denying the power of God.
No.
I can get fired up about stuff. I can. I mean, I know exactly how Paul felt when he was wandering around Athens, Mason, and looking at all them statues up there, and he said, ugh. And it said Paul's spirit was stirred up in himself. But what did Paul do? He preached the gospel. That's what he did. And some believed, and some didn't. And that's what we got here. That's it. We do it per adventure that God will grant to them redemption, life, repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That's why we're here. And that's why out there, from such, turn away. You're not to cast your pearls before swine. And that's what it ends up being. Because if they're out there proclaiming that, don't worry, if they're one of God's, he will bring them out. Our business as pastors, as teachers, is this flock here, including myself, and including Walter. This is where we are to be. This is what we are to be doing, is to proclaim that God has the power to save his people from their sins. He has saved them from their sins, and he's bringing them to himself.
Yes.
The good shepherd is finding his lost sheep that he already had and that already were sheep. He's bringing them in. That's what we want to do. We don't want to deny his power. We want to proclaim his power. He'll save you. He'll keep you.
Yeah.
He'll change your body one day.
Yeah.
Walter, I was thinking of that fellow talking about holy living and people sinning. And I'm thinking, why did Paul talk about mortifying the members of your body? Because if you sin, you're lost.
Yeah. Right. That's what they say.
That's what they're teaching. If you sin, you're lost. Who's the father chastising? He don't chastise bastards.
No.
He chastises his son.
Yeah.
That prodigal, see? That prodigal, when he went out with them prostitutes, he was lost. No, he wasn't. He was still a child of the Father in that pig pen. we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If I didn't sin, I wouldn't need an advocate with the Father. People are crazy. I mean, deny yourselves. That's what Christ said. Deny yourselves. Deny yourself. Don't deny Him. Don't deny His power. And don't come to me talking nonsense. Because I'm sorry. Paul said, from such turn away. He that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. There he is. There is to be a separation. The people of God and the world. Now, if somebody wants to ask a question and really might want an answer, Earl's, do you have an interest? Fine. Talk to him. You got a question, talk to Walter. I will say talk to me. But you can if you want. I know Walter. He'll talk about Christ at the drop of a hat. Yeah. We don't mind honest questions. We don't mind giving honest answers. But in these last days, I got nothing for traitors.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. But this word is all I have.
Yeah.
And if you want to argue about this, saying this says we've got free will, you don't even know what you're talking about, and I got nothing for you. Yeah. I'm sorry. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again this time, this place. Thankful for Your work known unto God are all His works from the beginning. You are saving Your people, calling them out. You already have redeemed them by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And You're saving them, calling them out, bringing them in, and keeping them safe until You come again. Thank You, Lord, for all of Your grace and mercy and truth that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen.